Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
Get the equalizer, and game three will be in Boston.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier, right now on WEEI.
Are you in the wrong studio, sir? Are you supposed to be in the studio right next door?
I mean, Adam Jones? I would never get here this early, first of all. And second of all, I've never sat in this seat. It's very strange over here.
It is weird over there. You did notice that Jermaine Wiggins is blind.
It's true. The icons on this computer screen are just, it's like a Nana sits here. They're ridiculous.
I can see them from here, how big those are.
There's also weird headshots like saved on here. Like, who are these people?
You should see what is saved on this computer. And the fact that people leave their stuff like logged in and things like that.
I think it's Mark with a C, a headshot over here saved along with an Ordway one.
There's a I think there's ones going all the way back to 2014 that are on this computer. Sid makes sure they're not infected. But boy, there's some pictures in there that would infect you as a person. It is 10:02. Jones is in for Foyer. We'll see how this goes, Jones.
Yeah, we will.
It's like a arranged marriage.
Yeah,
was there a lira I always say lira. Is there a dowry paid from one way or another? Did somebody get a check?
Not me. So maybe
no,
you.
Me yeah. Either. Yeah, no, me either. No. No, it was just
Fourier. I'm sure Fourier won out somehow.
Fourier will take a check any way he can get it. He's out there. Apparently, it might snow at the graduation or something like that. Then again, maybe we're also just tap dancing because the Bruins were pretty bad last night. Jones, big takeaway for you.
Well, look, I thought they would lose that game last night. I thought Florida needed the game more, and so I'm not surprised they lost. I'm surprised how they lost. I'm surprised that they came out, they had an opportunity in the first period. They could have jumped on Florida's throats. They didn't, so that felt like a wasted opportunity. You leave the door open. Florida starts to dominate in the second period, take over. Swayman looks human. Swayman gets benched, which I disagree with, by the way, and I know we'll get into. And then Florida beat you up and took your lunch money in the third period. And I know there's a chance that could roll over and be a positive bit of momentum for the Bruins, but I don't feel good about how that game ended. That not just the score, but the line brawls at the end with Pasta getting his face caved in by Tkachuk.
Well, there's the series, which at 1-1 you look at and say, okay, they went down there, they got a win, you're coming back. It's a 5-game series. We expected it to be tough. And I think everybody can be comfortable with that, but my God. Last night ended up, after the first period, it's like they turned into the Celtics and thinking, nah, we're up 20, we can cruise. And they just fell apart. And I think that's the part that gets me. Like, I don't think they're porked in the series because I thought the series could go 7 anyway. And I was with you. I thought there was going to be pushback from Florida. What I didn't count on was that Charlie McAvoy was going to go out there and literally fill up the back of his pants. He couldn't have played any worse last night. And when you have your top defenseman out there ping-ding-a-linging around and turning the puck over, and then you could just tell it got in his head, that was it. You know, when your best defenseman can't get the job done, it's going to trickle down. And in the first period, they were great at clearing out the crease. And then the second period, it was like they forgot that they're allowed to push people around. It was wild, the contrast between the first and the second period, and just how everything crumbled. It wasn't just one thing. It was everything. And missing those chances in the first period, I don't know what you felt, but like the Marshy one, okay, it's a tough angle.
It was.
I can live with it because then he started buzzsawing around. Like, he hit Tkachuk, and Tkachuk wasn't around until the third period.
Oh, he leveled him.
He smoked him because he was mad that he missed. And then you got Coyle who pipes one, and the two-on-one, you can't miss that.
No.
Like, that's the one where you're like, Jesus, that was God, Peacher. What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I'm with you. The Marchand one, look, you're supposed to be a world-class player. I'd like to see him finish that shot, but that's a sharp angle. That's a hard one to finish.
Or take an extra half second and give yourself the angle.
Yeah.
He had time to do that.
And look, I was happy with the Bruins' first period. Just in retrospect, you look at it and you go, that was an opportunity, and they missed it. So I'm with you. I don't think the series is over or anything like that. I think the Bruins can win this series. I think they will win this series. I picked them in the series going in.
But last night was alarming.
Again, that's what has me a little shook. I'm not surprised they lost. I'm surprised how they lost, and again, it felt panicky last night from, you know, McAvoy looked panicky with some of his bad giveaways. I thought Montgomery coached panicky. I thought he pulled Swayman too early.
You didn't like Swayman being pulled.
No. It's a three-goal game. Vancouver won after a three-goal deficit last night against Edmonton.
It was interesting to hear Monty say earlier in the game. Well, Monty said he almost pulled him after the second period.
He did.
And then he was like, when they gave up the goal, that's when he was like, okay. And it made it maybe look, I don't know if that looks worse or better. I guess if they came out for the beginning of the third period and Linus was in there, we would all be like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah, that would have been more. I mean, I think it's better he at least gave him the third period to start. And it's not like Swayman was great. I'm not defending Swayman.
No, but he got hung out to dry. I mean, that one, the one turnover where
the first goal?
I think it was the second one where they turned it over and literally a Florida player is standing right in front of him to redirect that one because everybody over-pursued.
That was the first one. That was the Lorenz goal.
First one.
I think when Forbort kind of got lost in the corner, he thought the puck was going to get
around. Yeah.
So
Forbort had an up and down night.
Like, I thought the next three goals, I didn't love any of them from Swayman, to be honest, including the second one where McAvoy could have cleared bodies in front, but it's still a rebound. You got to control that rebound. He didn't. So I'm not telling you Swayman played great. I just think if you're going to win any games, he needs to be your goalie. And I didn't like pulling him when they did. I thought Montgomery kind of waved the white flag. The team didn't respond to it at all. It's not like they gave you it gave you any lift or they were. Allmark immediately gave up a power play goal. He gave up a shorthanded goal.
Felt like at 4-1 it was over because I kind of threw up my hands and was like, all right, well, this is going bad. And then there were all the fights. And there's so many layers to this game because of the sort of the scrumming at the end. And was that losing control? Was that frustration? Like, I know we have some Monty from after the game on the whole. That was some frustration coming out, yada, yada. But I'm not so sure about that. I do agree with Jim Montgomery on this. They didn't have the life. They didn't have the juice last night. But then again, they played so well in the first period. It's like they went in and then lost it. It's not like they didn't come out with the juice. It was that they couldn't continue it. And I know we're going to get to a lot of this, and folks, get in, because there's so much to unpack from last night's game at 617-779-7937. Good morning to the Twitchers, twitch.tv/Boston, WEEI. You can get us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Boston, WEEI. You can text us 37937. Also get us on YouTube as well. Go to YouTube, type in WEEI. Boom, live stream will pop right up there. So I know you disagree with the Swayman thing. I think you and I might be sharing a brain on the pasta deal. I like the fact that he wanted to do it, right? And I know we have Monty praising him. But when it was going on, I was like, oh, my God, don't get hurt. Don't get hurt.
Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, and then when it was done and he's giving him the rabbit punches because he took a liberty with pasta, which, honestly, I don't care about. I know a lot of Bruins fans are going to be mad. If you put yourself in that spot, that stuff's going to happen. It is what it is. He went back in, was rabbit punching the hell out of Tkachuk. The bigger issue was that the Bruins got down and they put themselves into position for Kachuk to start wagging his tongue and people throwing rats and stuff like that. But he came away okay, so therefore I'm okay with it. But in the moment, I was like, Pasta, it ain't going to help.
Yeah,
don't do this.
I think it was dumb. And, I give him credit for taking the fight. That's not Pasternak's game.
Agreed.
Kachuk is a badass. And I know Bruins fans are upset as well, like you just pointed out. Like, oh, he's taking liberties, rabbit punches. Well, then don't take the fight.
Right.
And so if I'm Kachuk and I have a chance to pummel Pasternak because he's dumb enough to take the fight.
You got to.
I do the same thing.
If Pat Maroon, if somebody challenged Pat Maroon and Maroon didn't lay the wood to one of their better goal scorers because they decided to man up, we'd be BS over
it. I mean,
it.
Were we crying when Marchand was rabbit punching the Sedin brothers? Like, of course not. And so, and they weren't taking fights. I understand it's different, but no, if you engage in that and you willingly take it, and he took it. There were good highlights of this going around. I don't think they showed it on ESPN with Wischusen and Cali. But I saw that.
Oh, we got to get to that.
I saw the highlights on Sportsnet. They did a good job of Kachuk was wagging his tongue, as you said. Pasternak's like, yeah, let's go. He goes over to the bench. Him and Montgomery have a little discussion, and he goes back out. They immediately drop the gloves. They take the fight. So if he's dumb enough to take it, he's lucky he didn't get his face caved in last night.
We have that Sportsnet call because what I didn't realize in the moment, and shame on ESPN for not being on this, by the way, because I don't think they ever got to it in terms of Jim Montgomery, giving Pasta the green light. That was the part that caught me. So up in Canada on the Sportsnet call of the game, they had a couple of Canucks doing it up there, and they had the – I think after it happened, they went to break and then came back. And then whomever was better than Ryan Callahan calling the game up in Canada, they at least explained what was going on and Monty signing off.
Pasternak didn't like it. They went to their benches. He says, hey, why don't we go? Why don't we do it? Pasternak's like, yeah, sure we will. So they go off the ice and Kachuk is staring him down. This is exactly what he wants. See, he's telling him. He goes, you want to? He goes, yeah. Yeah, I want to. And then here they come off the bench and the gloves are off.
And Kachuk isn't necessarily the biggest fighter, but he's a little peckerhead. He just runs around and just like that's his. As soon as they got up, you knew he was going to start. And I could have chosen, Woody Woodpecker, or he's an instigator. But yeah, I don't want to say Pasta took the cheese, but I just don't know. For all of us, it was, yeah, it was great. Well, that already happened. There was already a line brawl, and then Marshy did his thing. I felt like the Pasta deal, I hope it energizes him, and it's good that Kachuk put the bullseye on his own back. I just didn't need that from Pasta. I don't know if he's the kind of guy who needs that kind of juice, whereas Marchand, he'll feed off of that crap.
Yeah, and look, I mean, maybe they come out, they're flying around in Game 3, and it's chippy going forward, and Florida can't handle that. But I don't think that's the Bruins' game. I think that is Florida's game, and I think
they want to muck and grab and
be
physical.
You played into their hands. And so, look, I give Pasternak all the credit in the world. I mean, that's a tough thing to do, to take a fight against a guy bigger than you. And even if Kachuk isn't the biggest fighter, to your point, I mean, he might as well be Sean Thornton compared to Pasternak, for God's sakes.
Absolutely right.
And so he goes out there, he gets pummeled. I just didn't think it was the brightest thing in the world. I give him credit for taking the fight. I give the Bruins credit. I know exactly what they were trying to do by trying to get some energy, trying to get themselves going, trying to carry momentum over to Game 3. I'm just not sure any of that's going to work because Florida's a tougher team. They're the bigger team. They're the tougher team. They're the more physical team. And I think that plays into their hands.
Biggest takeaway last night for you all at 617-779-7937. Listen, I know that we shouldn't, point fingers in the media and all that kind of crap, but can ESPN do a little better than Ryan Callahan on this series? I mean, if we're just being real about it, you hear the guy up in Sportsnet, you hear the people on TNT, and, this guy was nice. And he was a good player and all, but it's not natural. It's weird.
My criticism, and you have a good theory on this, but my criticism is less about him. It's more about Wischusen, the play-by-play guy. And I kind of noticed it in Game 1, but it really stood out to me last night. Over and over and over again with the Cali. Like, hey, Cali, what'd you think of that hit, Cali? Oh, what's going on out there, Cali? Oh, can the Bruins make a comeback here, Cali? So that really started to be an earworm that is now stuck in my head that I can't stop noticing.
He coached him up. That was him opening. That was Wischusen opening the door to tell Callahan, okay, you can speak
time
now.
To talk.
I did a college football game at James Madison once with Mike Corey, who's done a ton of college football, right?
I know Mike Corey. Delaware. Delaware?
Yep.
Yeah, I know Mike Corey, yeah.
I hated working with him for one reason.
I hate him.
He would do the same thing. We're in the booth, and he brings his brother everywhere, right? So his brother's like a stat guy or whatever. And it was like one of the first times I worked with him, and it was just like, yeah, I've done a bunch of games, you know, he would reach over and like touch me to be like, oh, okay, you can talk. It took about 3 minutes in the first commercial break.
Can we do that?
We can't reach over all these monitors,
for God's sake.
Plus, who knows what you would catch? They're so dirty. But he would like reach out and touch me, and it was almost like, oh, it's my turn to talk. And like the first commercial in, I'm like, Mike, don't touch me. Like, you don't have to. And he was just like, well, I wanted to make sure the flow was okay. I said, well, when you stop, I'll jump in. And I said, and if I'm a little long calling a play, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And his brother's like staring at me, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh, Jesus, I'm making somebody mad again. But to the point, that's why I had that theory of the him saying Cali, because it was like, let's open the door.
I think it's a good theory. I think it's a good theory, Gresh.
Because Callahan stinks.
I think you should stick with it, Gresh. It's a great way to go about it, Gresh.
Callahan stinks. And, boy, people have uttered that before. No, 617-779-7937. All right, we got a bunch of folks who are jumping in early on the Bruins. So there's the first period. There was the rest of the game. There's Charlie McAvoy. We got more defensive turnovers. Swayman got pulled. Jones didn't like that. And then all of the fights and does it carry over? And that's really just kind of getting it started in terms of unpacking game two. Bob in Londonbury, first up today. Hello, Bob.
Hey, guys. How are you today? I was kind of just concerned. Remember how we were all big on Pastrnak scoring that goal? And I was just curious, two questions. What would have happened last year had Marchand, when he had that giveaway, scored? And two, I've noticed this year, especially the last couple of games, we need the goals, and he's having a lot of open opportunities, and he keeps pulling a Fred Sanford. He can't do anything. Is this just going to continue, or is it just a bit of bad timing and no luck?
I mean, look, I think they need more out of Marchand for sure, and he had a lot of opportunities at the end of the Toronto series. We talked about the opportunity he had in the first period last night, where he couldn't capitalize. I want to say it was games 5 and 6, especially for Marchand. Bouncing pucks, open nets.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, maybe he's pressing. Maybe he's unlucky. Whatever it is. I thought he turned around the series in the middle of that Toronto series. But, yeah, you need more out of him.
His game 6, I think it was. Was that the one where he kind of blew up and had that big goal?
One it was.
It was either 5 or 6. But to your point, he kind of grabbed the series and was like, well, that's earlier, why we can cut him some slack, too, because at the end of that series, he did come through in big spots.
Yeah.
That's why Pasta got called out.
Yeah. I mean, look, I thought he was better agitating and stuff those games in Toronto, personally. But, yeah, and he makes a great play on the Coyle goal last night. He makes a great play. He keeps the puck. He jumps over a defender. He gets it to Zacha, who fires it back over to Coyle.
It's like NHL 24.
Yeah.
Where they just bing, bing. Yeah, it's like the kind of thing you do in a video game. And the hop over was...
Yeah.
That's like that was a 9.9.
But you need him to start finishing off some goals, and he had opportunities, and I would agree with that. That's a fair criticism of Marchand. Plus, he's the captain. And when the team's getting their face beaten in like last night and you're falling apart, some of that does fall on him. I agree with you. They started well last night,
yep,
which is what they weren't doing the last couple of games in Toronto, or at least 5 and 6 against Toronto. But I think that criticism of Marchand.
Oh,
is
yeah,
fair.
And then they Mac Jones just cratered inside themselves in the second and the third period. Look, in terms of Marchand, like, he missed that empty net, but what did he do? He started buzzing around. Like, he put that hit on Tkachuk.
Yeah, that's true.
And he disappeared for about a period and a half because they got physical with him. That's something that it kind of sounds like the Tatum defense yesterday, where Fourier was all over that, you know, Tatum this, Tatum that, but they won by 25. And we're here with Peyton Pritchard directly responding to Fourier, by the way. We will get that in before we're out of here today at 2 o'clock. But that's the thing with Marchand, where other guys, I don't know if they have that. Like, you know, I made my peace with Charlie Coyle over at the Jimmy Fund. I was like, listen, I was wrong. I bagged on you, but you had a great year, and you had another great year. But I don't know if Coyle has that in him to where if something goes bad, like Marchand was like, F it, I'm just going to go hit people. There aren't a lot of guys on the Bruins that I think have that, so it's almost like that Tatum added value. Even though he missed the scoring, which we need him to do, he at least went around and tried to assert himself in other ways that really worked in the first period that went away in the second and the third.
Yeah, I mean, I think that analogy is fair, that, you know, the Bruins and the Celtics may lack some of that edge, that physicality, that toughness. Like, I think that's something they both lack. Marchand does have it, you know, the chippiness, at least Marchand has. But largely, again, that's why I thought the third period, as much as I know what they were trying to do and gain momentum and build it into game three, I still think that's going to, you don't want to play that way. That's how the Panthers want to play. That's not how you want to play. That's not you. That might have been the Bruins in 2011. That's not the Bruins in 2024.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is that if it's about setting the tone for the first period, they didn't have an issue with that last night.
Nope.
It was more maybe running out of gas, as Monty said. Somebody just texted into 37937 saying that Toronto has fired Sheldon Keefe. That is true. Bad day for the Keefs.
About 10 minutes ago.
Oh,
really?
Boy.
Yep, gone.
Is Rich a candidate?
He should
to
be.
Replace.
He should be.
One Keefe to another.
I mean, that would be Monty today, by the way, or maybe it would have happened quicker. But if they lost that game seven, that would have been Monty.
You know, I do wonder about that. And the reason I wonder if it would have been. Well, because last year was the romanticized. It was almost like Monty got a free year in terms of last year was all about trying to recreate the Last Dance Bruins version. And even Monty admitted, hey, I wasn't as heavy-handed because I didn't need to be. Not that this is his first real year of coaching, but this is the first year for him anyway where he's got to push the buttons and not rely on all the others. He's got to rely on Marchand a little bit, but, like, he had to call out Pasta before Game 7. So I think the sort of the ways of motivation, we're just seeing Monty this way for his first year, where I think they might have given him another, but if last year was...
If they lost that game seven, he's gone.
I don't think so.
I do.
Because, number one, there would have been the whole, who do they turn to? Because even if we go back 2 years, these guys were on the wambulance. Oh, he's too Bill to me. Wah. This is Mr. Nice Guy.
Yep.
But he has also learned how to push them yet at the same time. And I think from a Bruins management standpoint, would they look at it and say, this coach is comfortable with these guys, and these, more importantly, the guys are comfortable with the coach. He's not a terrible coach. Maybe we give him one more year.
Yeah, maybe. Look, I'm not fully sold on Montgomery as a coach. You're right. He called out Pastrnak after Game 6. He got a response in Game 7. Eventually, it took overtime, but he got a response in Game 7. I thought the timeout in Game 1 was brilliant against Florida. I thought Florida was outplaying them. And he said, guys, we need to turn this around. A couple minutes after the timeout, Brazeau gets the third period
Agreed.
Goal, and now it's a three-goal game.
He wouldn't have done that last year.
No, probably not. So those are check marks and pluses for him. The minuses for him last night, I hated pulling Swayman. I might be in the minority on that. And Maurice was the one with all the adjustments last night.
Yeah.
He shuffled his lines in the second period. The Bruins had no answer.
Yeah.
So he got out-coached last night.
Well, and that was the thing with Maurice is that that was what was left. Like, even after game one, he was like, okay, we tried it the way we thought we could. Didn't work. We'll make the adjustments. I love going to Paul Maurice during the game. Is he not like the – it's like there's not even a game going on. He's just like, well, you know, I think – who was it? Leah Hextall?
Yes.
In game one, he was like, well, Leah, you know, they had some chances and we had some chances and they had 110 points and we had 109.
He's so not electric.
Probably going to be a tough series.
Yeah.
But he's like so calm in the moment. Whereas some of these coaches, like you talk to Sheldon Keefe, good Lord, looks like he can't wait to go get a Bud Light. Then again, that's what he's doing now that he's got fired.
It's true.
But I'm just amazed how Paul Maurice is, okay, yeah, it's playoff hockey, guys. Just don't freak out. I was like, who are you? What is this? You screw you and your 30 years of experience and knowing how to handle the situation. Panic a little bit, will you please?
Hey, longest coach without a cup.
Is that true?
Almost 1,900 games, doesn't have a cup.
Yeah, he's been to a couple of finals. I mean, last year, obviously, I think with Carolina early, right? But that's the longest drought without a cup?
Yeah, they showed that on graphic.
He's probably going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's fifth all-time in wins. So
he's never won a cup. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
No, but in that sport, it's a little weird. There isn't the championship criteria, I think, for all of the coaches there.
I mean, I don't know what the criteria is for coaches, but that's a bad Hall of Fame if he gets in.
Yeah, I would. I think you could look at that. Well, let's put it this way. You could look at the Baseball Hall of Fame and be like, what is that guy doing in there? And you'd be like, how come that guy isn't in? In hockey, it's a little different. Longevity seems to win in terms of hockey Hall of Fame, or at least that's the theory. All right, folks, last night, Bruins, did they just stink? Was this a turd burger? Who fixes this? 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, Bruins are okay in the series, we think. We think, or it's 1-1, so now it's a five-game series, but good Lord. Wasn't great last night. What was the worst Bruin last night, Jones? Jones in for Christian today, by the way.
I think it's McAvoy. I think it's pretty safe to say that. He's out there. He's on the ice for a bunch of goals against.
What would be the reverse of the star system? Like, what could we give? I don't want to go, like, lowbrow poop emojis, but is that it, Billy?
I literally reached for the microphone to say poop emoji. Pulled back.
Billy's like, hang on. I know the answer to this.
So we got three stars, three turds. There you go. Yeah. I guess that would be the...
It was a three-turd performance.
Storm clouds.
That was a...
Three sparkly stars, three storm clouds.
Awful. I mean, that was maybe the worst game McAvoy's played this year.
Well, and he's been bad all postseason, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I think it's a carryover. What's most concerning, it wasn't a one-off. It's a carryover of how he's played. He was at 5-on-5, even strength, for almost 14 minutes last night. Florida had a 16-4 shot advantage, 6-2 shots on net, and they were outscored 2-1 when he was on the ice. So, like, none of that's good. Possession-wise, scoring-wise, advanced metrics, traditional metrics, eye test, it was all bad. And again, it's a continuation for him, which is the real problem.
So yesterday, I know Fourier was on the Derek White is insulating Tatum from criticism and stuff like that. Is McAvoy being insulated from criticism, or are only hockey hardos noticing some of the new, like, it's easy for anybody to tell, oh, he turned it over in the other end. It's like, okay, well, he's a number one defenseman. He's not going to do it that much. However, I think there might be some fans who will be like, yeah, McAvoy hasn't been that bad. But I think for hockey hardo.
I'm afraid you get a stormy cloud.
Yeah. For hockey hardo, it is, oh, my God, this guy's been terrible, and here's every reason why.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it feels like McAvoy is not catching any flack for what, admittedly, and I'm with you, it's been a subpar postseason for him.
Yeah, I think, I think a lot of people can watch last night and see it last night.
Yes.
Maybe you need a more advanced eye to see it for the whole postseason. But to me, it's just he's not the franchise number one defenseman that you thought would be out there eating minutes and erasing the other team. Mm. And so that to me is the real criticism. I don't need a ton of offense from him. I'd like it. That's always a bonus. I don't need a ton of offense from him. I want him to be physical. He had a nice hit last night early in the game. Florida had that 2-on-1.
Everybody had an early hit.
He came over and pummeled whoever it was. I don't remember who it was. Mm-hmm. But he had a nice hit early in the game. Other than that, again, he's on the ice for a lot of chances for Florida. They were outscored when he was on the ice. And so, yeah, I just think if you're expecting him to, you know, be Chara or that level of defense, man, I know the style of play is very different. But
he's not Chara.
But the idea is the same, right? Yeah. He's going to play 25, 27, 28, 30 minutes a night.
And is that a problem?
Well, I think the minutes are there, and I think sometimes the hits are there, sometimes they're not.
No, but meaning too many minutes. Like Bruins fan Mike in the Twitch chat said he's on ice all game, not saying he doesn't need to be better, but he logs more minutes than anyone.
Okay, well, he should. I mean, I would agree. He's been a top five Norris guy in the past. He's compensated well. That's what you pay. What else you paid for? If you're not going to eat up minutes, what else are you paid for? So I don't. This idea the Bruins are like running themselves into the ground and they're exhausted. I get they had a quicker turnaround than Florida.
Yeah,
but that's because they screwed around with the Leafs. That's their own fault. Like I don't let them off the hook for being exhausted, being tired. If they took care of the Maple Leafs, like Florida took care of their first round matchup against Tampa, you wouldn't be in this spot. So I'm not crying for Swayman or McAvoy or anybody because they're too tired.
No, and that's also the playoffs. You're going to have, like, the Stanley Cup playoffs, if there are a couple of things that are tried and true that are consistent, it feels like it's in the Stanley Cup playoffs of the whole, you know, you can ride a goaltender type thing. But it's the schedule's the schedule. You know it's going to be every other day. You know it's going to be a grind. And I think there are going to be times where, as a team, you don't play well. But McAvoy feels like he's in a bigger funk. And I'm with you on this. I don't need offense from him. I need him to stop turning it over in the defensive end. That's the biggest issue. Like, if Wotherspoon turns it over and they give up a goal, it's Parker Wotherspoon.
Right.
I can rationalize that. When it's your number one defenseman making $9.5 million a year, that's the crap you can't have. And that's where McAvoy has been contributing to the losses. And even in the Toronto series, it was a $10 shake. Just all, I think it was him who was like, hey, I've been on this. Oh, no, sorry. It was a CJG forever. I've been all over this. McAvoy has sucked the whole playoff, sucked against Toronto. Of course, then it goes overboard. Trade him. He's peaked. He's not the number one guy he thought they could be.
Okay, well, let's hear him out.
Swapping around $10 million players in the NHL is not as easy, is it? That's the danger of paying the guys. It's like, oh, okay, well, you can only trade him to about eight teams then who want to go there and sink that much money into one player, but nevertheless.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to go overboard to reacting. It was a bad loss, and I didn't expect them to lose that way. I don't think the series is over by any means, but I am a little afraid that they're going to overreact. Like, I actually think it's good Ullmark gave up a couple of goals in the third period, because if Ullmark came in and shut it down, I think there'd be a real healthy debate, and maybe I'm missing it, maybe there is one, but I think there'd be a real healthy debate about Ullmark in game 3.
No, I think you're on it. If he went in and was making saves left and right, he did. And they left people in front of him and all that. But to your point, I totally agree. It feels like it's got to go back to Swayman.
It should.
I am sure they will probably have some sort of discussion. But I think you're right on it. If Linus came in and played great, the discussion today wouldn't be about McAvoy, the defense, oh, my God, are they wounded? You know, do they have enough juice? It would have been who's going to be in net. And that's the last discussion we should be having right now.
No, I mean, I agree with you on that. I saw a good amount of people on social media like saying, oh, good, Ullmark's in. Ullmark's going to get game 3. This is when the switch first happened, which, again, I didn't like. I felt like Montgomery waved the white flag too early, to be honest. And I know I heard him after the game as well, Gresh. Like, he said he considered doing it in between periods. That would have been even more panicky.
Oh, we'd have been all over the guy.
Yeah, and so I think it should be Swayman absolutely in game 3. I don't need to see Linus Ullmark again in this postseason. Don't need to see it. Saw him get benched 2 postseasons ago against Carolina. Saw him bench last year against Florida. Saw him last night. Saw him in game 2 against Toronto, which wasn't awful, but it wasn't as good as Swayman's been when he's been on his game. Not coincidentally, the only 2 playoff goals they've given up all postseason have been when Ullmark is out there. He's just a half step worse, a full step worse, whatever you want to say, than Swayman. So to me, there's no discussion, but there would have been if Ullmark came out and had a good third period.
It feels like Ullmark is in round 1 and Swayman has advanced to round 2 in terms of the play, the intensity, all that kind of stuff. And we're learning Swayman might be a little nutty. Good.
That
I
is
like
good.
That. Yeah, I want a goalie that, like, Razor is really not a goalie because he's not a weirdo.
Well,
I mean, really, though, think about it, right?
Like, what's the thing of costumes that he has that you guys pull?
Oh, that was the tickle trunk from Halloween, though, but he was saving those
kid. That's not a weirdo move?
No, if he were wearing them on Nessun on Halloween, then I would say that. Like, if all of a sudden he's
got a whole trunk full of costumes, yeah, that's a weirdo move.
If he's sitting there in a dress and pigtails right beside Jaffe on Nessun, then I'd be like, okay, maybe there's a little something there. But when you think on the scale of, like, quirkiness, like, you know, Razor, it's not like he's got these weird quirks or whatever. Like, it hasn't carried over to TV or anything. Got to wear a lucky jacket or all that kind of stuff. But it's good to know that Swayman might be a little tapped. Like, I think if there were a goalie fight, Swayman would entertain that.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas Razor might do what Marshy did when they started that whole scrum where they're just hugging and dancing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe. I just think... You hear that from the team just sounds more confident when Swayman's out there.
Yeah.
You know, Lori after game one had some interesting comments I thought about Swayman, just like, you know, he's loose. He keeps us loose. And I think when Allmark's out there, you can see it. I think the team plays differently because they're not as confident in Allmark. I wouldn't be.
All right. So we have one guy who texts this show all the time.
Uh-huh.
5083. It's number two on the text thing, right?
So you know the number by heart.
Oh, because this guy is just screaming at us last week in Toronto.
Okay.
Idiots, it's Allmark. You didn't put Allmark in. They got to put Allmark in. All he would do is Allmark, Allmark, Allmark.
Uh-huh.
Sure enough, here he goes. Should have started Allmark. And then from the 603, Sway was by far the worst Bruin on the ice last night. That is bullcrap.
Okay,
He might not have been great.
Thank you.
But nothing touches Charlie McAvoy last night.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't think he was the worst Bruin on the ice either, but like, I don't want to let him off the hook. I don't think Swayman was great, but I'm not running away from him, and he's been so good this postseason, I wouldn't want to go to Allmark. But I know there are people out there that feel like that texter, and again, I think that if you were still paying attention in the third period, Allmark didn't look any better than Swayman.
Same guy who was killing Sway sent in a little bit earlier. You're an idiot, Jones. If they don't rest Sway in game three, this series will be over in six.
Swayman was terrific.
Yeah, that's right. There's Monty.
If Swayman needs rest, then you're not going on a run anyway.
Correct.
Like if everybody's tired and they need a break, you're not going to win the cup anyway. So you're already screwed.
Wasn't that the argument for having Swayman in there? Is get somebody in there, get him in the groove. Yeah, they'll manage the minutes or something like that. But good grief to think that, like, they're not winning that game last night if Big Lean is in there.
No.
Yeah.
Big Lean?
Linus. Allmark. Big Lean.
No, I know, but just is that what we're calling him?
Well, I mean, what else do we got? The Big U?
I don't know.
Or I don't know. What nickname does Linus have?
I usually
I'm giving him one.
I call him Poopy Pants Allmark is usually what I call him. So that's usually how I refer to him.
We gave three turds to McAvoy.
It's all about having the mind of a goldfish.
Yeah.
Bingo. It's Big Lean for you. Classic Big Lean.
He sounds like, he sounds like Lotka from Taxi, so why not call him Big Lean? Because then all of a sudden he comes up to you and goes, thank you very much. And you're like, what is this guy? It's almost like a parody of himself.
Big Lean.
Big Lean,
what
baby.
What a guy. What a kidder.
Can you imagine him riding a bike around with like Chris Sale? Hello, thank you very much. I'm Big Lean. I want him to say, I'm Big Lean. That would be funny as hell. Then it would be like, okay, maybe this would have a chance to stick wherever he is next year.
Send some liners over to the Bruins.
Well, we have to pay for that.
It's Big Lean. Big Lean.
Big
here
Lean
on
over here. Big Lean. There you go. Oh, there it is. May and Lean. Where will he be playing next year? I'm banking on Edmonton.
Oh.
For Big Lean.
I don't know.
Or
he
Colorado. Georgiev's not doing great.
What's the closest? He apparently loves Boston and doesn't want to leave. So I don't know. Somewhere close. New Jersey.
It's not the Kings.
Going to the West Coast.
I was going to say, does it open up the, I'm sure they probably gave him like 10 teams you can't go to. Does that shrink to 8 or something like that? Like don't the longer the deals go, the less restrictive they are.
Yeah, I think it's still a lot of teams though on this no movement list, I think. Yeah.
That's a bad job by Sweeney. Like, don't give that much. It's Linus Allmark, for God's sake.
Big Lean. What are you giving him so many teams
for? It is Big Lean. We will. We can definitely lean into that.
15-team no trade.
15-team no trade.
16 to 15, Gresh. It does go down.
We know that game two for the Celtics is tonight, but I have a funny feeling that Jones and I might end up having too much fun poking at what is going on down in Foxborough. Is there any unemployed... is there any unemployed former front office people from really bad teams who have nothing to do but to fly to Boston and have a free dinner? That's what it feels like what's going on. We'll get into the search for the next executive vice president of player personnel next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature.
Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This Memorial Day, raise a glass to those who served. And let Blinds.com raise the bar on home decor. Serving up style with huge summer savings. Blinds.com is the better way to get custom window treatments. Online with upfront pricing and no salespeople at your door or inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable for you. Choose from premium blinds, shutters, motorized options, and outdoor shades for your patio. Just in time for summer fun. Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home and even send free samples. Plus, you can get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. All backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale happening now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Are we checking the PJs at the local airports for the latest unemployed box check for the Patriots to come in for an interview? Jones, this is something. The title of... the title is... up for grabs, yeah. Of Executive Vice President of Player Personnel. And according to Bert Breer, Almond Nut Breer, all over this, Patriots completed interviews with ex-Carolina Cap Chief Samir Suleiman and Eagles Executive Brandon Hunt. They also did register the job title with the league office. And then this is cute from Bert. In parentheses, he puts, Elliot Wolf remains a strong candidate. Get the hell out of here. Has there been a bigger sham than this in terms of interviews in this city?
Oh.
I don't think so. This is an all-timer. Like, the guy who just... So you have the head coach who can't stop. Whee! I'm on the roller coaster. This is a legacy pick. But we might replace the guy who made it. What are we doing? It makes no sense.
It doesn't. And so the whole thing to me is ownership wants to make it look like they're not shoving Bill out the door because they want more control over the roster. And so they didn't give Elliot Wolf the job immediately, but they don't give him the job, right? He doesn't have a contract yet beyond the next couple of weeks yet. I think we all assume he's going to get it, but they keep him close to them so that he makes the pick they want at 3, which is a quarterback. Any owner would want to make that pick. I don't blame them for it. I wanted that to be the pick at 3. I didn't want a tackle. I didn't want a receiver. I didn't want to trade back. I wanted a quarterback. I want a franchise quarterback. Who wouldn't? And so I'm okay with that. I just want them to own it. And trying to hide behind Elliot Wolf and hide behind this sham process when the title is, again, executive vice president of what?
Executive Vice President of Player Personnel.
Right, which I think Bird initially reported it was Executive Vice President of Football Operations. He corrected that. So Player Personnel. He's the Executive Vice President. Well, so then I would ask, who's the President? Who's the President of Player Personnel? Jonathan? Robert? Like, ownership. And so to me, this whole sham process where you make a mockery of the Rooney Rule and you waste everybody's time in the meantime is all just because you don't want to be transparent. And that's annoying. And so that's kind of where I'm at with this whole thing. I'm sure Wolf will get the job. He was a good boy. He did what they wanted. He made the pick at 3, and so he gets to keep the job. But I think that's how it went down, and that's how I've always felt this was going to go down.
Yeah, this was ass backwards from the very beginning. And even figuring out how to work around the Rooney rule in terms of putting Mayo in place. Like, they figured that out pretty quick, but yet left this open-ended. And a texter just sent in, Gresher's a league policy they're required to follow similar to the Rooney rule. Yes, 978. I do understand that. But when you're to the point to where you're interviewing – What was the guy from the Eagles? I don't know, third or fourth in line or something like that?
Oh, yeah,
like
after they got declined three different times, yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And you found a guy who just got fired from freaking Carolina. Why did that guy get an interview? Because he did a great job at Carolina, or because he helped them check the box?
They love scraps from Carolina. Isn't that why McAdoo's here?
Golly. I mean, hell, at least McAdoo's been a head coach before. Who's going to run the clock when they're all standing there staring and going, oh, my God, do we use a timeout? At least McAdoo can be like, yeah, use one. I screwed it up in game three of my first year. Otherwise, it's Alex Van Pelt there being like, oh, what play do I want to call?
Right. So, look, I understand what the texter's saying. Like, they do have to go through the process at some point. They could have done it when they moved on from Bill. That's when a normal team does it.
Bingo.
You do your GM search, then. You do a coaching search, then. They didn't either. They handed Mayo the job because they had a wink and nod agreement that no one knew about officially going back years. And now they have another wink and nod agreement with Elliot Wolf, and the whole thing is just a sham, as you said.
Yeah. You're pulling people off the unemployment line. Not because they're real candidates, but because they're helping you get to the point to where you can officially name Elliot Wolf to the job he already has. Hell, at this point, take the fine. Seriously, like everybody in the league, you mentioned it, Jones. Why are people turning it down? Because it's not a real job. It is not a real job.
Well, it's not a real search process.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, again, Brian Flores, huh? I mean, this is really what Brian Flores was complaining about,
oh, no,
was it not?
1,000%.
They fed right into it now because, well, Big Bad Bill is out, and Bill can deal with, you know, whatever that lawsuit is. Like, where's the status of the Flores lawsuit, by the way?
I'm sure it's about the same as the Jim Trotter lawsuit. I think those will be hung up for a while, and the league won't make any progress on those. And, yeah, no, you're right.
Will they get Kaepernicked, meaning, like, they'll get their check in the end. They just have to fight it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I would think so. Like, I'm wondering if the NFL is just like, here's $25 million to go away. Stop bitching about this because the Patriots are doing it right in front of us again.
Yeah, but that was Flores' complaint. It's like,
no.
Oh, cool, I thought I had a job. Or at least a shot at this job, and it turns out it was a bag job, and it was always going to Belichick's buddy the whole time. And he texted the wrong guy and blew the lid off the thing. And that's no different than this.
So now we've gone from it being Belichick's buddies or Bill running it to now the buddies of the Crafts.
Oh, yeah.
Except which one? Because we know that there's the heartstrings of Robert. I love Gerard. I mean, he was giving him the job anyway, right?
Yes.
So I have to assume that this is maybe a Jonathan pick because it's much more behind the scenes. And if you're reporting the ownership, the guy who's here all the time is Jonathan. Like, they could send Robert an email that he could read in New York City or something like that. But, no, it's very evident that this is a mess. So what the hell? Pay your $100,000 fine. Say you did it ass backwards. Somebody down there go, yeah, we were just happy to get rid of Bill. We didn't know what we were doing. Write the check to the league and be done with it, for God's sakes. Instead, we're sitting here farting around thinking, oh, what was this guy's name? Sameer Suleiman is really going to come in and get this job. Get the hell out of here. Speaking of getting the hell out of here, will the Cavs show up tonight against the Celtics?
No.
We'll get into that next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.